The show you have selected will start directly after the next message.
Welcome to the future you. Frank Lloyd Wright once said, "Study nature, love nature, stay close to nature, and it will never fail you." At Zija, we love nature. We study nature. In India, we discovered Moringa and created Moringa Supermix, a revolutionary new combination of organic ingredients, including natural vitamins, minerals, proteins, antioxidants, and omega oils. Zija's new Moringa Supermix will help you make a change for the better. Simply click on the Zija banner on the UKHealthRadio.com homepage. Power people need power vitality.
Hi and welcome to this week's Yes to Life show, a show all about integrative medicine for cancer. My name's Robin Daly, and the show is named after the charity I set up to help people with cancer in the UK to find out about and access integrative medicine. This week's show focuses on a therapy that's rapidly emerging on the scene as a very important element in any integrative medicine protocol, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, or HBOT as it's often called. Annabelle Trion has set up the Wellness Lab right in central London to offer HBOT, and I'm talking to her now over the phone about the benefits on offer. Hi Annabelle, thanks so much for coming on the Yes Live show.
Hi Robin, thank you for having me.
So you've set up a rather unusual service in central London, the Wellness Lab, and it's offering hyperbaric oxygen therapy, amongst other things, for a variety of conditions, or indeed just for general good health. So in the past, all forms of oxygen therapy have been widely derided and even attacked by the stalwarts of conventional medicine. Would you say that oxygen therapy is still a bit fringe or alternative, or has the science now come on sufficiently that it could be said to be established?
I think it's still considered to be somewhat fringe and alternative. There's definitely a lot of endorsement by charities such as Macmillan, for example, regarding the use of hyperbaric oxygen therapy for the side effects of chemotherapy and radiotherapy. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've been talking to doctors at places like the LAC with regards to using hyperbaric oxygen therapy for neurological pain that's derived from chemotherapy, for example, and they're quite interested in those sorts of applications. But I think there was a lot of concern about using hyperbaric oxygen therapy regarding just general healing for cancer. And there was definitely worry about whether, obviously there's a lot of evidence around the fact that hyperbaric oxygen enhances wound healing and it's required for all the major processes of wound healing. Mm. But there was a fear that it could also sort of apply to cancer tissue also and therefore promote cancer growth. And there was a concern that perhaps exposing patients who had been treated for cancer to hyperbaric oxygen could lead to reoccurrence. But I think there's now been enough studies. I mean, definitely there were two systematic reviews on hyperbaric oxygen therapy in cancer that have concluded that the use of hyperbaric oxygen in patients with malignancies is actually considered to be very, very safe. And there are a number of studies that support that. And I think it's just about sort of catching up with the research and, actually many doctors I've spoken to aren't familiar with these studies because it's just not part of the general training.
Right. Anyway, good to hear that the safety is established because that kind of at least opens the door to people giving it a go.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think it's just, there's actually been a lot of research around both enhancing chemosensitivity, so not only just for the side effects, but also improving the efficacy of the chemotherapy drugs, as well as contributing to healing as a standalone therapy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get into all of that as the show goes on. Could you describe the equipment you use and what the experience is like for someone undergoing a session?
Yes, of course. So basically the concept of hyperbaric oxygen therapy is to provide 97% oxygen through a nasal cannula, so you're breathing it in from your nose, whilst lying in the hypergravity chamber. And the reason we do it within a chamber is that basically the pressure then increases, and Murphy's law suggests that pressure will cause the oxygen to be absorbed by tissues and cells up to 10 times more whilst you're at pressure than it would be at normal air pressure. And I think that's really, really an interesting point, because many people ask me, well, you know, I've had my blood oxygen checked and it's 100% or 99%, so why will hypergravity oxygen therapy help me? And there's a big distinction between blood oxygen levels and the oxygen levels of your tissues and cells. And especially where you have a tumour, for example, there could be parts of your body that are not well served, or that oxygen is not getting absorbed well from the blood into that particular tissue. I mean, this is particularly pertinent for wound healing also.
Yes.
It's why people, for example, with diabetes and they have non-healing wounds, can benefit very much from hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and actually have in the past avoided surgery by doing hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
All right. And tell me a bit about what the experience is like of doing it.
Sure. So when you come for a consultation, you fill in a form. Obviously, there are very, very few contraindications, actually. But in some cases, we prefer to have doctor's consent, or at least inform your GP if they are aware of, you know, that you're doing the therapy. And basically, you remove your shoes. You can wear whatever you like. We recommend loose, comfortable clothing. And you lie inside a chamber. It's like a long... It's kind of like a tanning salon bed, in a way. It's like a long chamber. You lie inside. It's quite comfortable inside, quite roomy. There's a two-way intercom system, so you're able to communicate with your therapist at any given time. We operate the chamber with qualified nurses, so should you have any concerns, there's someone there who's qualified. And basically, you lie down, we close the door. It's a glass, it's sort of, you know, plastic acrylic door, so it's completely transparent, so you can look out into the room, it's not claustrophobic at all. And then you start to gradually increase the pressure, all the way up to 1.5 atm, atmospheric pressure. But basically, we do it in increments. So as you go to about, the machine goes all the way up to 50 kilopascals. We start with 10, 20, and then gradually increase over the course of your one-hour treatment. You may feel the sensation of your ears popping, similar to what you would feel in an aeroplane, basically.
Yeah.
And once the ears have popped, you can increase the pressure quite rapidly thereafter. And then, you know, once people have done one or two sessions, they tend to go straight up to 50 quite quickly.
Mm. So are you sort of acclimatized, or is it more like a psychological getting used to the process?
I think it's a combination of both. Some people have a fear about claustrophobia when they go in, but in my experience, 99% of people find the process quite pleasant when they're actually inside. There's only been one person I've ever had who had genuine claustrophobia, and the poor chap started sweating before he even got into the chamber. Shaking and sweating. But apart from that, I think most people find it quite pleasant. And then whilst you're in there, you know, you're breathing almost pure oxygen. So obviously that has a very relaxing effect on the body. We encourage people to take nice, long, deep breaths to sort of activate the parasympathetic nervous system so they can really relax and to get the oxygen flowing through the body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you've already mentioned some of the types of condition that HBOT, as it's called for short, can help with. Could you just run through a bit of a list of all the main ones and the potential benefits?
Absolutely. So, you know, starting off with just general health and wellness, you know, we know that it's commonly used by celebrities, sports professionals, or as part of a detox protocol because it gets rid of the toxins. You know, there's 6,000 intracellular processes in the body that require the presence of oxygen. Mm. And the way we live our lives today, you know, you've got pollution, stress, poor diet. You know, we just don't get enough shallow breathing. We just don't get enough of the oxygen in our body. So it sort of promotes general health and wellness. It makes the whole body work more efficiently. It increases the amount of energy that you have. It boosts the immune system. There are studies showing that it helps with pain relief. It can regulate sleeping patterns and reduce your stress. And actually, what's very interesting is that there are studies that show that it improves mental function as well. So it can help with depression, anxiety, stress, and you know, enhanced concentration. Great cure for jet lag and hangovers also, with its restorative and relaxing, rejuvenating effects. But there was a 2017 study, which I found particularly interesting, that showed hyperbaric oxygen can enhance brain activity and increase the ability to multitask, and that's to do with the neuropathways in the brain. Very, very interesting study. So that's sort of the general application.
Yes.
And then when you go more into sort of specific applications, it's used quite commonly already in the sports field. So, you know, there's been quite famous cases of people like Djokovic, the tennis player, using it commonly to enhance his performance. There was an incident where the footballer Mohamed Salah used it after a groin injury just to help expedite the healing, as did Wayne Rooney. Simon Jones, the cricket player, used it to heal an ankle injury in time for the Ashes. So, you know, you've got sort of quite a lot of documented cases in the sports industry. Most football clubs have one to increase sports endurance and expedite healing after injuries as well. So that's quite a commonly used application. And then you've got sort of probably more explored, I think, in the US than here in Europe, which is the benefits for anti-aging and beauty. But there's actually, you know, we're currently working with the British Board of Anti-Aging and Integrative Medicine on this aspect of it. But actually, there are studies that show that oxygen therapy, there's a 2014 study that showed it, you know, enhances skin rejuvenation and it's useful in the treatment of facial aging. And there's a 2013 study that showed that it protects the skin from UVA damage and increases the skin elasticity by stimulating collagen production. So there's definitely a huge application for you know, hair growth, cellulite, wrinkles, acne, skin conditions, anti-aging, you know, actually can be helpful with weight loss as well, because it helps to you know, work on the subcutaneous fat in the body too. Other applications, you know, keloid scarring, expedite healing after any sort of injury. So one thing that we're exploring with the British Board of Anti-Aging and Integrative Medicine is, you know, when someone goes for a therapy, for example, a PRP facial, that leaves their face red for 3 or 4 days, actually healing can be expedited if they're exposed to hyperbaric oxygen therapy afterwards. And it's very, very interesting because we were discussing the science behind this. And basically, the reason your face goes red is because the body is, the face, you know, is providing the blood supply to that area to expedite the healing process.
Right.
Surely because oxygen is required in the healing. So if you then expose your body to hyperbaric oxygen instead, that extra blood supply is not required. And so the redness goes down. And actually, one of the biggest risks after a procedure like this, like a laser or a chemical peel, is exposure to the sun. Because there's an iron-type substance in the red blood cells, and because they've come to the surface of the skin, if they're exposed to the sun, it causes a rusting-like phenomena, which leaves pigmentation marks on your skin. And so by being exposed to hyperbaric oxygen therapy, that blood supply is not required so much anymore, and therefore the risk of hyperpigmentation afterwards is mitigated. So it's very, very interesting, the application there. And anyway, a lot of celebrities are interested in this because obviously they can't afford to have the 4-day downtime or 5-day downtime associated with such treatment.
So you're actually saying that people go rusty. Those marks are a sort of form of going rusty. Is that right?
Pretty much, actually. That's exactly how the doctor described it.
Wow.
He said that it's pretty much like rusting that's happening on the face, and that's why you get pigmentation marks.
Right.
So you can avoid that if you do the oxygen therapy after the procedure to a certain extent. And then I think the fourth application, which I think is the most interesting for this conversation, is the chronic conditions and cancer. And I think, you know, aside from providing a vital boost to the immune system and expediting any kind of healing in the body, there have been a lot of studies on applications for MS, which is why, you know, the MS charity centres all have an oxygen hyperbaric oxygen therapy facility.
Yes.
For autism, for asthma, for diabetes, stroke. You know, there's been evidence to show that it can help regrow neuropathways in the brain, heart disease, and then, of course, cancer. And, you know, the studies have varied from, as I said, there's a 1998 study, for example, on the effect of hyperbaric oxygen on growth and chemosensitivity of metastatic prostate cancer, and they found that to be very helpful there. A 2013 study, which is probably the most famous for breast cancer, showed that a combination of just hyperbaric oxygen therapy and ketogenic diet, in isolation, just those two things, prolonged the survival in mice with a human model of systematic metastasized breast cancer. So that was very, very interesting.
Yes.
And then there have been other ones as well around, as I said, the concern about whether oxygen therapy would enhance the growth of tumours or actually mitigate and reduce the growth of tumours. And I think the evidence is, there's a 2012 review, for example, that deducted that there's no evidence indicating that oxygen therapy would stimulate tumour growth. But on the other hand, there is evidence that implies that it would have a tumour inhibitory effect in certain types of cancer.
Right. Okay, thank you. Well, that's quite a roundup. There's an awful lot of applications, basically, here. There's so many completely different areas that oxygen can be helpful.
Absolutely, and that was what was very interesting for me, and it's kind of why I got into this. So, I mean, I personally experienced a few healing challenges in my life, one of which was a badly fractured back after a robbery in my house.
Oh.
And it was an unfortunate circumstance, but, I was left bedridden for 6 weeks, and then they were sort of saying, because of the way the fracture had fragmented my vertebra, there were fragments of the vertebra in my spinal canal, and they were concerned about it leading to paralysis from the waist down if they got any closer to my spinal cord. Mm. And so they were sort of saying I may need sort of critical surgery. And of course the pain was unbearable.
Right.
And so I found hyperbaric oxygen therapy really helpful in my healing process, and I was able to give back the wheelchair much faster than they expected, etc. And avoided having the surgery. It really helped with pain management, and it really helped with expediting the healing of the fracture. And actually, there's also research about that too, which is how I came across it. And so, after that experience, I sort of, I did research, and there really are very few centres in the UK that offer this. And those that do, it's quite expensive. So I basically decided to purchase a machine and set up a business to offer this at a more cost-effective basis. I was really surprised that the penetration here, because in the US is very, very prevalent. You have clinics everywhere, many detox centres have one, it's just far more accepted than it is here. And speaking to doctors here now, which I am doing, I'm creating affiliations with doctors who are referring patients, I'm actually getting more or some referrals from doctors in India and doctors in the US than I am from doctors in the UK. So it seems that they're
crazy.
A little bit behind in terms of general awareness the potential.
It's interesting what you said about the change in the equipment. It's a very important thing, isn't it? Because, of course, in the past, only an organisation of some size could afford the kind of submarine that was involved in having the therapy. But this much smaller models that they're making now, such as you have, they're obviously much more accessible in terms of cost. And I suppose the question is, are they just as effective as the good old tanks?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the difference between them is obviously the space. So I regret, unfortunately, that people with mobility issues or challenges obviously can't access the individual chamber as easily. I myself, when I had my fracture, found it very difficult to climb inside the personal chamber, but I managed. And so obviously the bigger models provide a lot more access,
right,
which is really great. But for those who can't reach them, as you say, it's very difficult to find the space, they're very heavy, they're difficult to construct, and they're very, very expensive. So this is a way to make it more accessible for people who can't access those larger models. There is a difference. So, this model that we have here and at the Wellness Lab and the ones at the MS therapy centres, for example, don't go to the same pressure as the ones, for example, that the St. John's and St. Elizabeth Hospital in St. John's would have, for example. And the one that they have there is used for diving injuries, predominantly.
Yes.
And so actually we realise we don't need to go to that same depth. And the fact that we don't go to that pressure actually avoid challenges such as oxygen toxicity. So as I mentioned, our machines go to 1.5 atmospheric pressures or 50 kilopascals. And there's research that says that if you go above 3 kilopascals for over 90 minutes, it can lead to oxygen toxicity.
Okay.
And that's obviously a severe side effect that you want to avoid. And so the fact that the machines at the MS therapy centres and this oxygen chamber at the wellness lab doesn't go to that depth, to that pressure, is actually a good thing. Because we're well clear of that, basically.
Right. But in terms of the effect, the smaller, newer ones is just the same, basically, as the larger ones that an MS centre would have.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So who's coming to use your service, and how are people finding out about you?
So at the moment, we've got a couple of collaborations with a few doctors, functional doctors, who are, who appreciate the benefits of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And so I think we've got sort of different classes of patients, or clients rather. Some are referred by their doctor for specific conditions. For example, we have someone who has a lot of pain associated with an injury, and they found that every time they do hyperbaric oxygen therapy, the pain goes away for a period of time. And so obviously, there's a longer term healing process going on, but in the interim, they're using oxygen for pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people using it for aesthetic reasons, so just so that, people experience sort of chronic fatigue, the way we live our lives today, with stress, etc. We basically, just burden ourselves too much with so much to do. And so we find ourselves very tired, and so people have come in just for the energy that it gives. I've had people come in with insomnia, and they found it very beneficial for that. It sort of regulates the sleeping patterns. And of course, people with sort of longer-term healing challenges, a lot of cancer patients come in either sort of self-referred because they want to use it as part of an alternative path to healing, or people who are, going to chemotherapy and radiotherapy and want to mitigate the side effects. So I've had patients come in doing radiotherapy, and they've reported, they've written to me that they've had no side effects at all from the radiotherapy, and they're pretty sure that oxygen has a lot to do with that. Obviously, there are protocols around, when you would do it if you're going through that sort of procedure, they follow those quite quickly.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, I had one banker actually come in.
Yes.
He was super stressed. And his wife just insisted that the stress is going to kill him one day and he's going to have a heart attack. So she, she booked this session for him. Mm. And the poor chap did a conference call from inside the chamber.
You're kidding.
She said,
oh, no.
Can you imagine? She said he'd rather him doing it while he's getting hyperbaric oxygen than sitting in the office. So,
I suppose it's
so had all types of people.
Yeah, amazing. So this is a bit of a sort of how long is a piece of string question, but I just wanted to get ideas about the amount of treatment required to have a therapeutic effect. Obviously, every single situation is different, but maybe you could talk about some specific examples, maybe to give us an idea whether one session makes any difference at all, or whether 10 is a minimum, or what. I just want to get some sense of the amount that's needed.
So. The recommendation is, irrespective of the condition, it's good to do 10 sessions close together as possible, just to flood the body with oxygen and really flood the tissues and cells with oxygen. And that's why we offer a discount on a package of 10 sessions.
I see.
And when I say as often as possible, I mean that could be up to every day.
Right.
Or you could do every other day or three times a week, as suits your schedule. And thereafter, once or twice, depending on what you're doing it for. However, of course, I have people who are using it for pain management. They just come in once a week. I had a doctor, actually, a lady who was a doctor herself, who was trying to mitigate the back pain without relying heavily on drugs. And so she was using it just once a week. And I've had that lady who had insomnia just came in for 3 sessions. And she found that her sleeping patterns were regulated after that, and she felt much better. So she didn't come again after that. And then those people who are, you know, the affiliations that we're having, we're setting up with these cosmetic dermatologists, etc. They just offer one session after any facial treatment, just to expedite the healing, and that could be just a 1/2 an hour after the procedure.
Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit now about the chemistry and biology involved. I'm talking particularly with respect to people with cancer now. And, you know, we got Warburg's work from nearly a century ago pointing to a prime cause for cancer, the move by cells away from respiring oxygen to fermenting sugar as a way to obtain their energy. So this is finally re-emerging as one of the most useful sort of platforms from which to treat cancer. Science has now shown that simply increasing glucose levels can prompt malignancy. Now, on the other side, low oxygen can also be a driver for fermentation. Can you talk a little bit about how a condition of low oxygen can come about and the role of HBOT in addressing that?
Absolutely. I mean, so solid tumours often contain areas subjected to acute or chronic hypoxia. And I mean, there are studies that show this.
Hypoxia meaning low oxygen.
Yes, exactly. So basically, because tumours contain areas of hypoxia, has oxygen, administering oxygen at a pressure that's higher than normal atmospheric pressure, Murphy's law would suggest that the tissues themselves can, in the, under that pressure, absorb the oxygen far more than they could under normal circumstances. And that's why, you know, as you said yourself, Otto Warburg, 1931, Nobel Prize-winning research, I mean, he went as far as to say cancer cannot exist in a highly oxygenated environment.
Hence, it is becoming more commonly seen as a kind of ancillary treatment for all sorts of other approaches, you know, conventional and otherwise, to actually improve results.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, as I said, both alongside conventional treatments, and actually that works because hypoxia has been considered to be a reason for chemotherapy resistance. And so if you mitigate that, then you can improve this chemosensitivity, basically.
Yes. Okay, so I was wondering if you recommend any other ancillary approaches that could to further enhance people's oxygen levels.
Well, so this is an important distinction because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, some people think that just sort of breathing more deeply, exposing themselves to oxygen at normal room pressure could be helpful. But there's a very big distinction between the oxygen level of the blood, which is what you're doing in effect, you know, by doing those things, and the oxygen that's being absorbed in the tissues themselves. And so I think that, you know, obviously it's good to get to do deep breathing practices and get, you know, your body as oxygenated as possible. It's a different thing to be receiving the oxygen at pressure. So it's a sort of different concept, actually.
But the two things are complementary, though, nonetheless. I mean, for example, somebody who's habitually very sedentary and doesn't therefore get much oxygen by normal methods or just good breathing, some exercise would be complementary to what the approach that you're trying to take.
Absolutely. And of course, there are many other things going on here. I mean, I believe that healing has to happen at many levels. It has to happen at a sort of physical level, but also an emotional level and a more spiritual level, for want of a better word. And so things like exercise, deep breathing practices, you know, they have a very, very beneficial effect on the body. It activates the parasympathetic nervous system, takes us out of the fight or flight, constant adrenal fatigue, where we're producing cortisol, etc., consistency. And all these states are not conducive to healing. So there's definitely a lot of benefits around that. And actually, there are things like transformational breath therapy and hypertrophic breathing practices that have helped people release emotions that are stored in the body. It's a way of overcoming trauma and that sort of thing. That can be very healing for the body as well as activating the parasympathetic nervous system. Mm. So I think there's a lot of practices around this that are very, very beneficial.
All right, great. So we've already mentioned a few sort of combinations going on between hyperbaric oxygen and conventional treatments and others. You mentioned the ketogenic diet. I'd like to just talk about a few of those, just like what's going on, why it's helpful. You know, the people may not be aware of the ketogenic diet, what it is and why people do it, and why the oxygen therapy would be a good complement to it. So do you want to just sort of give some general ideas about the combinations that are happening and why they're helpful?
Yes, of course. So earlier in the conversation, you mentioned, Robin, very accurately that the effect of glucose as well as oxygen on a tumour, and then how that sort of the research around that. And so the ketogenic diet is basically a low-carbohydrate, high-fat diet, which is designed to decrease the blood glucose and elevate the blood ketones. And that in isolation has been shown to slow cancer progression in animals and humans. There have been studies around that for two reasons. So both the combination of decreasing the amount of glucose in the blood, which, as you mentioned earlier, can be helpful, but also the fact that it produces ketones and blood concentration, or a body that has a high ketone level, that also isn't conducive to cancer growth. And then, of course, on the other side, the oxygen therapy saturates tumours with oxygen, which reverses the cancer-promoting effects of tumour hypoxia that we mentioned earlier. And so, you know, both of these are non-toxic therapies, and they both exploit overlapping metabolic deficiencies of cancer.
Mm.
And so the combination of them is obviously quite powerful.
Yeah, so it's a very logical treatment if you accept that Warburg hit the nail on the head, basically.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, we also have, you know, research to prove that now, also to sort of support that.
Yeah. Okay, that's very interesting. And can you just talk about one or two, you know, the ways in which HBOT is combined with conventional therapies? You've already mentioned the idea of people having chemotherapy and overcoming chemo resistance with it. Are there other types of conventional therapy it's good with?
Well, conventional therapy for cancer specifically?
Yes.
Currently, at the moment, it's been widely accepted for these particular applications, both to help with chemosensitivity, but also to mitigate side effects of radiotherapy, etc. There is some work being done on the use of hyperbaric oxygen therapy for brain tumours, again, for the reasons I mentioned earlier. I'm not so familiar with that work, actually, but I know that's an application. We don't actually work with anyone else out here at the Wellness Lab, but there is an application there that I know about.
Could you say, you said it helps with radiotherapy side effects. Can you explain exactly how or what the side effects it helps with are?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of endorsements from charities like the Macmillan. It talks about the side effects of radiotherapy and how it basically, you know, expedites the healing. That's pretty much how it's why it's endorsed.
So this is like cellular healing. This is the sort of, if you like, the collateral damage that's done to cells that you would rather have not harmed.
Well, yes, because radiotherapy can cause changes. The radiotherapy treatment itself can cause changes in the oxygen supply to the tissue in the treated area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, you know, radiotherapy would, of course, affect normal cells and blood vessels as well as the cancer cells in that particular area. And so, you know, the small blood vessels can be damaged by radiotherapy, which means less blood is supplied to that area, and which means that that area receives less oxygen. And so what happens is the affected tissues then become weaker and can start to break down. There can be open sores, ulceration, and sometimes you have radiation necrosis, which is where the tissues and cells around the area that's been treated actually die completely. And these injuries can occur, sort of, they don't necessarily occur immediately. It can take time before you actually see the symptoms of this.
Yes.
And so when you have hyperbaric oxygen therapy following radiation, it can increase the supply, the oxygen supply to these damaged tissues, which encourages the new blood vessels to grow and the tissue then heal.
Now, I've also heard that HBOT can help with lymphedema. Is this something you know about?
Actually, no. Thank you for letting me know. That's very good to know. And I can imagine how it could do so, just by sort of, you know, helping the lymph to flow more freely through the body. But that's a very interesting application that I was not familiar with.
Well,
thank you for that.
I don't know much about it myself, but it was something I came across. And, of course, a huge number of people have to deal with lymphedema and don't necessarily have an awful lot of support with it. So that could be a useful application.
Absolutely, I'll definitely look into that more.
Right. So there's some other situations that people with cancer may have to deal with where HBOT could be helpful. You've mentioned how it helps with wound healing. Well, of course, an awful lot of people with cancer have surgery. So could you tell us a little bit about the wound healing aspect? And also, is there anything else that somebody with cancer may have to deal with where HBOT could be a support?
Yes, well, I think, let's start with the second question.
Mm.
So in terms of general synergies, there's definitely the fact that it boosts the immune system.
Yes.
And that's definitely helpful in any healing challenge. But also, it helps with the side effects, you know, of chemotherapy, the nausea, and that sort of thing can be definitely improved with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And also, as I mentioned before, the neurological pain associated with it as well.
Yes.
So that's one helpful area. And then on the wound healing side, you know, we know that oxygen is required for the healing process. And so it connects with the healing of wounds after a surgery, but also it helps with keloid scarring. So a good presence of oxygen will reduce the amount of keloid scarring in the body.
Mm-hmm. And something that quite a few people who've had chemotherapy have to deal with is nerve damage. Is that something that the oxygen can help with?
Yes, exactly. The neurological pain will come from the nerve damage, but absolutely.
Yeah.
That's one of the applications that I'm currently exploring, actually, with one of the doctors.
So it won't just help with the symptoms, but it'll actually help with the problem itself, which is the damage. Is that the case?
That's correct, yeah.
Fantastic. All right, so HBOT is kind of the headline offering from the Wellness Lab, but you also offer other therapies, I believe. Would you like to tell us what they are and why you offer them?
Yes, of course. So we also offer, we have a collaboration where we offer intravenous drips, so vitamins, etc., which is helpful for the healing process as well. There are some evidence to show that. And this is a bit controversial. So, you know, there is some evidence that shows that high dose vitamin C can also inhibit cancer growth in the body.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other, you know, vitamin IVs that we do to help boost the immune system, etc. And I think, you know, when there's a known deficiency, for example, a deficiency of vitamin D, we can give a shot for that. Also very helpful in the healing process as well. There's a lot of studies around the dangers of vitamin D deficiency, and actually I think, you know, we find that most people are deficient in vitamin D, so that's something that we offer as well. We also do health and wellness coaching, and we do that because people often know what diets they should be following to optimize their healing journey. But they find themselves unable to follow those diets. It's kind of like the smoker that's been told not to smoke but can't give it up.
Right.
And you realise that there's actually a lot of limiting beliefs, or there's often deeper reasons why they follow those habits or eat those foods that are not conducive to their overall well-being. And it's, you know, not just a case of I don't have the willpower. There's often learned behaviours or experiences that lead them to sort of have minor addictions for these sorts of foods or habits. And so we help them basically reverse those and get to the bottom of why they're doing what they're doing, which then helps them change these habits to help their overall healing. We also offer meditation and mindfulness. And again, that goes back to the parasympathetic nervous system and getting out of that chronic stress, which makes it harder to heal, of course, and sort of helps them find stress-relieving mechanisms to go into meditation, visualization, and mindfulness practices that will help them on their healing journey. I mean, it all goes down to what I said earlier. I think that healing really has to happen at many different levels. And the body only has a finite amount of vitality. And if you're, you know, if you think about all the leakages of that, you know, you've got the, eating the wrong food will, you know, will detract from that. The stress that we experience will detract from that. Lack of sleep will detract from that. And so it's all about, and to a certain extent, electromagnetic exposure will also detract from that. Pollution, etc., will all detract from that. And so it's all about doing what we can to reduce those areas of leakages. So if we can reduce the stress a little bit, improve the diet a little bit, provide oxygen, give the body the right vitamins and minerals it needs, then, you know, we can sort of overall contribute to the vitality of the person, and that, of course, will contribute to their healing potential.
Mm.
I think, you know, something like a vitamin like IV, the reason we do that is because, you know, if you have a poor digestive system, for example, leaky gut issues, etc., we don't know how much of the tablet, you know, you're actually absorbing. So you'd be taking vitamins orally till the cows come home. But, you know, we don't know how much of that is actually being absorbed into your body. By doing it via IV, we know that it's all going straight into your bloodstream. So, you know, where there's a known deficiency, we like to use IV.
Right, right. Fantastic. So it's a pretty rounded service you've got there. You're looking at things from a lot of different angles.
Absolutely. And I think it's up to people to decide. You know, I think healing can happen in many ways, and many people do well on different therapies. And I think it's about finding that therapy that suits you. That, you know, I feel intuitively people know what would work for them. I've met people who are adamantly against doing chemotherapy, for example, and have tried it and have fared quite poorly on it. And then I've met people who've done quite well on it. So I think, there's different paths for different people. If we knew more about what works for people and why, I think, we'd have an answer as to, this person should go for this and that person should go for that. I think there's still a lot of work to be done around why certain treatments work better for some people and not for others. Mm. And I think while that's still being explored, it's really important to do, no matter what path you go down, it's really important to do what you can to support the immune system and increase the vitality of the body, irrespective of what path you choose.
Right, right.
Not more we want to add, so hopefully we'll be increasing our services. Basically make it easily available and as affordable as possible. And I mean, on the affordability, we have affiliated with Yes to Life charity, as you'll be aware, Robin, to offer people who are using hyperbaric oxygen therapy in a cancer scenario, whether it be for side effects or just general healing, we're offering them a discount so they can book 10 sessions for £500 instead of a £100 session.
Well, you beat me to it. I was just about to mention the amazing offer that you've made to the beneficiaries of Yes to Life. That's really great, enormously appreciated by us and our beneficiaries. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And to avail of that, it's very simple. You can just go onto the website, www.thewellnesslab.com. Mm-hmm. And then when you book a package and 1 hour session, it'll give you an option to enter a coupon at checkout. And if you enter Yes to Life, then the discount will automatically be deducted.
Mm, fantastic. Okay, well, we're going to finish there. Thanks very much for talking to us today, Annabelle. It's a fascinating area. It's been really interesting to hear about it. And I really appreciate the fact that you're bringing some new options to people with cancer, making them more accessible, right there in the heart of London, and hopefully it will improve people's well-being, their quality of life and their outcomes. So really good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And as you said, that's exactly the objective. It's just to give people access to something that might help them in their healing journey. So that's what we're trying to do and make it as affordable as we can. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Annabelle.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, there seem to be more and more reasons to seriously consider hyperbaric oxygen regardless of what else you're having as treatment. Look on the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, for links to material mentioned in the show. Just click the show logo that's there on the homepage. A quick reminder about a couple of events coming up in the Yes to Life calendar. On the 24th of October at 6:30 p.m. in Camden, London, learning about true tea. And then on the 30th of October, 6:00 p.m. in Marylebone, London, the amazing Jane McClellan will be talking about her new landmark book, How to Starve Cancer. Thanks very much for joining me today. I hope you can listen again next week. Goodbye.